Someone going through a breakup runs into her ex at an event and sees the ex has met someone new. Tears erupt, seemingly washing away what had begun to feel like healing. Or a board of directors, known for their dysfunction, gets a chair who's healthy and motivated to turn things around. Through patience and careful attention to emotional systems, members start to trust one another and rediscover their shared mission. But in the one meeting when the chair has to be away, the former dysfunction rears its ugly head and tears the team apart. Or, in bizarre twists of electoral math and dirty pool, a president is elected who undoes the work of generations of courageous leaders. Progresses in international relations and social justice seem to be swept away, as though through the force of an F5 tornado. But have they really been swept away? Or are we talking about setbacks? Perhaps big ones, but not ones that take us all the way back to square one. So begins Reverend Dr. Sarah Drummond's reflection on Starting Over, which appeared in Medium this month. Reverend Drummond comes by her knowledge of starting over honestly. She's a leader of Andover Newton Theological Seminary, which recently became affiliated with Yale Divinity School. This process of Andover Newton becoming affiliated with Yale took years of hard work and more than 7 failed attempts at merging with other schools. Yeah, you know this pain, John. Andover Newton is one of the historical UCC seminaries. But in this day and age, a standalone brick and mortar seminary is just financially untenable. Despite the very real writing on the wall that the school wouldn't survive without a radical shift in the model of how they did things, it seemed like this institution just wouldn't change. We've all been part of things like that, haven't we? Things that just wouldn't change. A team of people would be working on a plan of how they would merge with another school or change the model of the way that they did things. They'd be chugging along, doing good, hard work, and inevitably, something or someone would come along and derail their progress. It was incredibly disheartening. They knew that their beloved institution was dying. Yet, people and their priorities and agendas kept snatching away the lifelines that school leaders were reaching out to grab. Drummond says, "Discouragement sat at the table with us at every meeting and kept keeping it from dominating the conversation was a challenge." Curiously, this idea of starting over, of being put back to square one, resonates in both of our scriptures today. In the passage which Patrick read from 1 Kings, we hear the story of the prophet Elijah. Jezebel, the foreign queen, had just vowed to kill Elijah, and so he's a fugitive from the law. He flees into the wilderness, abandons his servant, runs for another day, is fed by angels who tell him that he's going to need to eat, he's going to need the strength that is going to fuel him for the next 40 days as he climbs Mount Horeb. Yep, there's that number 40 again. What happens in the Bible when we hear the word 40, the number 40? God reveals God's self in a new way. The rainbow, the Ten Commandments, Jesus' ministry, just to remind you of a few. Oh, and in case you didn't catch the 40, we're told that Elijah is on Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. You remember that one too, of Moses in the burning bush and the Ten Commandments fame. Our author is practically shouting, "Pay attention!" Then we hear that the voice of the Lord came to Elijah and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah explains that he's been exiled for defending God, and the voice tells him to go stand at the mouth of the cave, and the Lord will pass by. Then there's a blasting wind, a shattering earthquake, an unquenchable fire, and God wasn't in any of those. It was only in the sheer silence that Elijah finally experienced God. Can you imagine? You've been running for your life, defending God against an evil empire. You've been running and hiding and hiding and running and running some more. And then you experience God in sheer silence. This silence, experiencing God in the silence, is usually where most preachers spend their time. But today what strikes me is that the voice of God then asks Elijah the same question again. Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah answers exactly the same way, exactly, not a vowel or consonant different. And the voice of the Lord says, "Go, return yourself to Damascus." Go back to where you just were. Go back to what you've been running so hard away from. Go back to where they were seeking to destroy you. Go back to square one. Similarly, in our gospel, after Jesus drives the legion of demons out of the man, he seeks to join with Jesus and the disciples. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much it is that God has done for you." In both of these scriptures, and in so much of life, don't we often feel as if we are back at square one? That all of our hard work, everything we've gone through, doesn't seem to have mattered. In her reflection on Andover Newton's 7 failed merger attempts, Sarah Drummond notes that one of the twisted ways in which discouragement affects our brains is that it takes us back to a place that we never wanted to be. And so we get there and we fail to look around. So what can we do as leaders and in living our lives to keep discouragement from dominating the narrative? First, we can consider that biblical theologian Clarence Jordan, in writing his cotton patch paraphrase of the New Testament, translated the devil as the confuser. Setbacks mimic failure in a way that confuses us and prevents us from reflecting and ultimately trying again. This is the devil's work, she says, and we must resist it. In both the story of Elijah and in our gospel of the man who was healed of his demons, both were sent back to where they had come from. Both though, were sent back, changed. They may have felt like the same person, looked like the same person, but their experiences had shaped them, honed them, indeed, transformed them. They weren't the same people as they were at the beginning of the tale. Years ago, a friend who was in recovery gave me an inspirational calendar. The message for January was called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters by Portia Nelson. It reads, Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find my way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see that it's there. I still fall in. It's habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. And I get out pretty quickly. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a hole in the sidewalk. You know where this is going, don't you? I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down a different street. Both Elijah and the demonic and Andover Newton and you are all substantially different because of what you have gone through. Your failures have taught you skills. If nothing else, I hope your missteps have bred empathy. Sarah Drummond reminds us that when we're in those low points, coming back from setbacks, one of the healthiest things we can do is surround ourselves with wise people who know us, care about us, and care about the projects that matter to us. She says that only one who has seen us through ups and downs can say, "You are not back at square one. I knew you at square one, and this is not that." Because progress hides in plain sight when we're feeling discouraged, and we need smart people to shine a light on it when the feeling of failure has obscured it from our view. Friends, may our scriptures and our experiences help to remind us that even though the confuser may discourage us, we are not back at square one. We bring our lived experience and the transforming love of Christ Jesus. And with those two things combined, we can fight evil empires, we can live healed lives, and we are never, ever the same. Thanks be to God.